Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. That's a little Aerosmith bringing us back. No, that's not Aerosmith. That's not who that is. That's Van Halen. What's wrong with me? Welcome back, 17 till. Sometimes I just, have a moment. One of those moments, right? Anyway, can you have David Stillman's our guest? David, can you have a senior moment when you switch back from Aerosmith to Van Halen? I'm not sure that that's a little ironic. In a senior moment with Aerosmith, I'm not sure that's the. What do you think?
I think so. What we find very rare is when a boomer admits that they're having a moment.
Well, this is when you can tell that the boomers are getting a little long in the tooth when they can't tell when they have a problem remembering whether it's Aerosmith or Van Halen. That's a classic right there, folks. Welcome back. I'm Jim Blasingame. I admit to this. I claim this. This is something I do sometimes. Anyway, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. One thing about it, David Stillman, by the way, folks, David Stillman is the co-author of The M Factor, all about the millennial generation. One thing about it, David, I've learned a long time ago, if I didn't laugh at myself, I'd miss some of the best laughs of my life.
I would agree with that.
And so talk to us about this. About this Gen X, I'm sorry, the Boomer generation, which is my generation, which were born between 46 and 64, as you told us in the last segment. What is our current, what are we doing in the marketplace these days?
Well, I think, it's a nice segue from where, although we are just joking, but this idea that the baby boomers are getting older. And it's a generation that has always raged against age.
Exactly.
They don't like getting older.
I'm fighting it every step.
Absolutely. So how does that play out in the office is that it's a generation that doesn't like to talk about retirement, doesn't like to admit, that maybe I'm getting older and I'm going to have to think about retiring. And so what happens so often is that you've got an employee that's been there forever, just has a lot of not just industry knowledge but tribal knowledge and whatever it is
yep.
that you do. And
they know where all the bodies are buried.
And suddenly, the bomb gets dropped. I'm retiring next month.
Uh-huh.
It's like, whoa, and no one saw it coming because they never talked about it.
Right.
So that's a part of, rage against age that we're not seeing. But what people aren't clear on is what the baby boom generation is going to do when they retire. They aren't going to head to a porch swing and sit around and do nothing.
We don't even know how to play shuffleboard.
No, and a lot of them are going to return to work in some capacity. I think it's going to play well for small business because I think a lot of them who have been in these larger businesses are going to opt for a lot of the flexibility that a smaller business can bring.
Well, I have an attitude about retirement that I currently have. I may not have it in 10 years, but I currently have it now. That I wonder how typical this is of boomers. And I'm going to give you two comments that I've made to people. Someone said, what do you think about when are you going to retire? They would say, oh, Jim, when are you going to retire? And I say, come to my funeral.
Yeah.
Or then they say, what do you think about retirement? And I said, for me, retirement is waiting to die. I want to be productive as long as I live. Now, I don't, who knows how I'll feel in 10 years, but I wonder how typical that attitude is of boomers. What do you think?
I think it's very typical. And let's put it into context for your listeners. This is a generation of 80 million. So when they came into the world of work, you better bet they had to compete. So it's been a generation that's been very identified by the work and the work that they do because that's, that was how they could stand out amongst the
right.
80 million.
We had to the competition was fierce.
Absolutely. It's a generation that was told the time to get to the office is 5 minutes before the boss, the time to leave the
right.
office is 10 minutes after the boss.
Right.
I mean, they've been so identified by their work that we're kidding ourselves. It's like you're saying, they're just going to stop. Now, I do think they are going to reinvent. I think they're going to do some retooling, which is what we're starting to see right now with the boomers. But to think that they'll stop working, as you said, no, not until the day they die.
Mm-hmm.
And So that is very typical. Now, something that we see going on with the boomers today that I think your listeners need to be tapped into is you've got a book like The M Factor, our book, all about the millennial generation. Everyone's fascinated with the millennials, as they should, because they are going to rock the workplace. But all this attention's going on, wow, what's it going to take to recruit them? What's it going to take to retain them? So we roll out these robust orientation programs. We have these individual development plans. We change our feedback systems, our retention programs. All this attention goes on them. What's happening is you've got those 80 million boomers sitting there saying, what about me?
Yeah, exactly.
When did I stop learning? When did I stop growing? Who said I wouldn't want an individual development plan?
Right.
Who said I don't need feedback? Who says I don't want training and development?
I want a trophy.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I showed up today. I want a trophy.
You know, so I think a big aha is that, yes, the things you're doing for the millennials are great. Do not take your eye off the baby boom, because they still want it. In a national survey that we had done, close to 50% of boomers said they wish they had a mentor at work. And not having a mentor was contributing to job dissatisfaction.
50% of boomers said that?
Yes.
50% of boomers said they wish they had a mentor?
Yes. Now, I think too often we think of a mentor has to be someone older.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be very happy with a younger mentor. Teach me new technology. Teach me new tricks.
Listen, that's been happening to me for the last 5 years.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it is.
It is great. So a couple of things is we've got to be careful because I think boomers, you know, saying, what about me? But where it gets really dangerous and can hit your bottom line is so now they see millennial come through the door, gets all this attention, and they start to feel some animosity. And on top of it, the economy is not so great as we know, Jim, right now.
Yep.
And boomers sitting tight. So what do? They stop mentoring themselves. They stop sharing knowledge. Because this is a generation where knowledge has always been power.
Right.
So if I know something that no one else knows, I'll be needed around here.
Hold on to that thought, David. I got to take a quick break, folks. We're going to continue this line of thinking with our good friend David Stillman, the co-author, along with Lynn Lancaster, of The M Factor, very important book. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with us. David Stillman is our guest, our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member, the co-author of The M Factor. His co-author is Lynn Lancaster. And David, now you have another book that you guys wrote, and it's more about the Gen Xers, isn't it?
Well, it's about all four generations. It's called When Generations Collide.
Right.
It talks about traditionalist boomers and Gen Xers. And it came out in 2002, but it's been updated, and it's continually doing it's doing well because it grounds you in generational differences, where the M Factor really talks about the seven hot trends today
right.
with the new generation.
You know, and by the way, tell us how we can find you and your books, you and Lynn as well.
Check us out at generations.com.
Wow, you got that one. That's good. Good for you.
Yeah.
Generations.com, and your books are wherever books are sold, I'm sure. David, you were talking as we went to the break about when companies bring in the younger folks, we tend to, you know, to defer to them in so many ways, and the baby boomers who've already been there say, you know, what about me? There's another element of what about me that I think baby boomers may be feeling right now, and that is, you said it earlier, they've got the institutional knowledge, they know where the bodies are buried, they've forgotten more than some of these young whippersnappers will know after many years. So sometimes I think baby boomers get the feeling that when the younger people come in, they don't think they can learn anything from us. What do you think? And that's a little bit disrespectful, isn't it?
It feels disrespectful. And not only that, it's dangerous for your listeners to believe that within their business. Because, sure, technology, when every day you're reading something new from a new iPad to new technology, it feels that everything's out with the old and in with the new. But, you know, technology is only going to do what you tell it to do. And it's that tribal knowledge that concerns us that's walking out the door.
Yep.
And we don't do things like job shadowing, and the mentoring programs sometimes go by the wayside. So what happens is the boomer retires, in comes a new person. They need to know a thing or two, and that knowledge is gone.
So if we bring in a millennial to go to work nearby to a, or maybe even for a baby boomer, then, you know, we should say, okay, baby boomer, this person, one of the reasons we hired this person is because they've got some technological acumen that we can really use, and I think you and I both can learn from them. And then you say to the millennial, now look, this guy has forgotten more about taking care of customers than you'll ever know. You need to listen to him or her. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. But, you know, it's going to go both ways because we've raised, as we talked in our last time I was on the air, we've raised a generation of millennials to speak up. So these boomers can't think it's going to be jump and they're going to say how high.
They've got a lip on them, don't they?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's a generation.
I agree.
They're speaking up and having their minds be heard. But I will caution you is that, you know, as we get these boomers to share their knowledge, they still feel threatened. Sometimes they feel, well, if I share this knowledge, then I'm not going to be needed here anymore. So
right.
Oftentimes what you need to do to motivate that knowledge transfer is to say to the boomers is like, hey, if you share this knowledge, it's going to free you up for new initiatives, new projects that we can give you, that you're not doing this to say, hey, I'm going to be pushing you out the door.
Do the Gen Xers have these similar feelings to the boomers?
No.
Do the 40-somethings have these feelings?
Not at all. Because keep in mind, they're a generation of 46 million, so they've never grown up with that same competitive nation that the baby boom. So numbers have worked on their side. Not right now, granted, the economy's tough, so things are kind of on pause. But when this economy lifts, I am telling you, I'd be keeping my eye on Gen X because for a few reasons. One is that they've got numbers on their side. As boomers move up and out of organizations, there's a smaller population to draw upon. It'll be their job pick. It really will be. But something else that we're concerned about is baby boomers have stayed in place for so long. And if you look at an org chart, it's filled with baby boomers in the higher ranks. And it's a notion that we've called the gray ceiling. So what happens is Gen X looks at the org chart, they're like, well, there's nowhere for me to go.
Right.
So-and-so's not leaving.
There's got to be some funerals before I move up.
Exactly. So, you know, what happens is they're like, well, I'm out of here. And that's only for companies, though, Jim, that have the traditional model of a career path, that it's up a ladder, and with each climb, it's a fancier title and a bump in pay.
Right.
Whereas savvy companies, what they're doing is what we call Rubik's Cubicle.
Uh-huh.
And that is, look, Gen Xers lateral. They love lateral moves.
Yep.
Sometimes don't even take them out of their position, but maybe give them a new project or initiative to sink their teeth into.
Right.
We can really get some of these leadership traits, but we cannot accuse Gen X of being needy or expecting too much too soon because when boomers are in there, 40s, well into management.
Hey, David, I got to wrap it up. David Stillman, ladies and gentlemen. David, thanks for being here. Good job today. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll get you back again real soon. David Stillman, folks, the co-author of The M Factor, available wherever books are sold. Check it out. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.